Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to affect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. Welcome, everybody, to another What the Fuck Wednesday. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Yeah, it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. It's been a week already. Let's face it. Hell, it's been a fucking year. Let's just be honest. 2020. Yeah. What are we? 2023. Somebody the other day. There's some stuff we'll get into in a second. There's some stuff going on that I only found out about yesterday, day before yesterday, and yesterday. And I got the Hallmark gift card, you know, hey, the universe only gives you what you can deal with. And I'm like, the universe can fuck off, take a long walk off a short cliff and go, boil this fucking head at this moment. I'm done with dealing with shit that the universe gives to me. I want a break for 5 fucking minutes. So yeah, that's about where I'm at the moment.
I can relate. And I know that there are other folks that I've been talking to are feeling it. They're feeling really overwhelmed, stretched thin, you know, having to slow it down to reprioritize really what's working, what's not, what we should kill, what we should take on and not. So it's hard. It has been a hectic year. And I feel like the weeks are getting shorter or quicker. Like, I don't know where time is going. So I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, to be honest, but it's flying by and it's just feeling like a lot.
Yeah, truthfully, it's feeling too much. I mean, I kid you not, I put a LinkedIn post out, you know, a couple of days ago, and I kid you not, I was sitting on the, I was going to say the porcelain throne, but, you know, in an airport, it's a metal throne that one was sitting upon. And I mean, first and foremost, I don't know what the hell it is about this country, but at least in a lot of European countries and other countries, when one is sitting there either doing one's business or contemplating the meaning of life for 10 minutes while one is doing one's business. Why the hell am I getting a call? Hang on a sec.
Is that a rhetorical question?
No.
Oh, it's been a week. Yeah. So while you're answering that, some housekeeping items, folks, yeah. If you have questions for me and Chris, you know the drill. Drop them in the comments or tell me you want to come on and we'll go ahead and bring you on the show to ask that question and go through it.
Yeah. So sitting upon one's porcelain throne or one's metal throne, I mean, I'm sitting there like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, because it was, I'd come off of a trip. I went out to DC to hang out and do some stuff. And that was good. And I, you know, that was needed.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, I'm getting back for 72 hours, if that. I'm heading back out again. I mean, I'm out. I leave in an hour's time. I mean, I'm heading to the airport. When we're done with here, I have 15 minutes to finish packing, and then I'm heading to the airport. I'm in Dallas. It'll be nice. I get to hang out with Cecil and the crew in Dallas. But I come back from that Friday, and then Monday or Tuesday, I head to Nashville. I've got Nashville, ISSA in Nashville, Tuesday. Wednesday, I head to GERCON. And then I'm up in GERCON. Then I think I get back from that. And I've got, I actually think I have, no, I don't have a week. Because then I get back from GERCON. And then I'm probably Wednesday, the following Wednesday, I'm driving up to Davenport, Iowa for CornCon. I get back from that. I actually have a week when I don't think I'm doing anything. Then I got a conference in town. And then it's end of October. And then I'm out in, I've got potentially some DC stuff. I got fucking last con. And then I'm out in the Middle East for a couple of weeks.
Jeez, that is
and with the shit that's going on at the moment, I really am. Basically, end of November, I think I actually get like a week, maybe two. Because I mean, between now and the end of the year, I've still got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I got 12 to 14 more conferences.
My word.
And travels. I mean, like, what the fuck am I doing?
So is that normal for a typical CISO?
I don't think
in
so.
A small enterprise. Yeah, like that seems like a lot.
I'll end the year if I keep at this pace and I don't start telling people to fuck off. I will end the year on one to, I'll end the year of having done 40 trips and 40 different conferences.
Are you racking up the points?
No. Well, I mean, I am on Southwest, but I'm also using them because I'm not getting paid for probably, I mean, way over half of them. I mean, there's way over half of the conferences I don't get paid for.
I mean, that's crazy. I mean, first of all, I think it's admirable that you're doing all this travel and going to all these conferences and meeting people. But how do you, you know, how do you keep things balanced? I mean, the job is hard. Life is hard. Travel is hard.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, you're going through some health things too. We know that. And
there's some Milo. There's some Milo stuff now. And honestly, the Milo stuff is making me take a step back and probably more than my own health is making me take a step back and go, fuck this.
Yeah. But how are you balancing everything? Like, how do you do that?
Not easily. And I think that was the, it's been doable. I mean, I'll give Boom credit. Boom's good with me working remote. I mean, it's my job is partially remote, partially local. As long as I'm in the office 2 to 3 days a week, they're actually pretty good about it. Some weeks I'm in the entire week, some weeks I'm in, you know, only a couple, but some weeks I'm in the entire, you know, I mean, so it's one of those things where, and I've done this for years. I think that's maybe part of it. Just because I've done it doesn't mean I should do it again. Well, you know, and you do it. You know this. I mean, you run your own companies. I mean, I did it when I ran my own companies because you have to. It's you got to put food on not just your table. You got to put food on everybody else's table. So you get out there. You do the conference circuit. You collect the business cards. You follow up. You hand some of them to the salespeople when you followed up with them. And you chase down business. I mean, that's just the fucking cycle. And you continue to do it and you get good at speaking and people want you back. And I haven't been good enough at saying I'd love to come back. And a lot of the conferences will cover like travel and expense. Some of the conferences, most of them will cover travel and expenses. But when it comes to actually getting a stipend or anything, I think that's where I failed. Because if I was getting money for actually bouncing around on stage, I probably would feel quite so pissed off because I could go and, you know, fucking put it in, donate it to charity or just go buy another one or something. But with everything that's going on, I'm really am taking a step back going, because you know, I've still got my CISO responsibilities. I've got responsibilities to work. I've got everything else. So a lot of the regular stuff I can get done while I'm bouncing around. But I think the other challenge I've gotten back into the habit of is just get out, get done, and get the hell back. Like at the moment, I'm flying back from CISO's event Friday night because I was going to go biking. Well, with some stuff I discovered this week with Milo, I'm probably going to fuck off from Dallas earlier on the day on Friday so I can get back and be with him.
How do you decide though what, you know, the trade-offs to make, right? Like what is it that's going on in your life now?
It literally is a case-by-case basis, you know, and some of it's a value thing. And I think this is where, you know, to some degree the lockdown that we had was actually very, very nice because I was able to do this all remotely and get up, put a t-shirt on, do the conference in the underwear, and I'm done in 2 hours or 3 hours. I'm now plus prep time and everything else. But let's just say it's a half a day's worth of effort. Whereas going somewhere, it's prep time, packing time, sorting time. It's two, you know, it's half an hour to the airport, 2 hours at the airport, travel time at the airport, fucking around the other end of the airport, getting a car, getting a lift. And, you know, you add up all the expenses. I will end this year at the moment out of pocket, give or take a bit, 20 odd thousand for doing all of this. 20, maybe 22,000 out of pocket by the end of this year.
Wow.
At least.
That's a big chunk of change. But then when you look at that, what value is that going to give you next year and down the road?
I think it's, I look at it,
for that investment.
I'm fortunate that one, I get paid pretty well to do what I do, so I can funnel some of the money into this. I enjoy doing it because I can give back. You know, there's a way of, you know, there's some level of owed, shall we say. This industry's given me a lot. It's given me a home. It continues to give me a shit ton load of support. You know, I put stuff up on posts, I talk to people, and there's a lot of support. So I feel like I owe it, first and foremost. Secondly, it's that, hey, how do we change the industry? You don't change it by sitting on your ass in a fucking sofa doing nothing. You change it by getting your ass out there, jumping up and down on the stage and saying, hey, motherfuckers, change. And here's how. So that takes time, that takes effort, and I don't mind doing it. And you encourage other people to do it. So I think that's a big part of it. But It's tough to choose the right ones. Maria just put out a LinkedIn post. I saw it this morning when I logged in. She put out a LinkedIn post going, hey, what are you doing next year? And, you know, and it's tough because obviously GERCON is always there, end of conversation. San Fran is a to-do, same as Black Hat and RSA, because there's the Tinkerer stuff. And there's, again, friends and family. It's a big gathering of friends and family.
Right.
But there's a lot of other stuff. There's a ton around this neck of the woods. There's a ton around other places. I mean, there's, you know, there was so, you know, even just heading out to like Davenport, Iowa. I mean, for God's sakes, the middle of bloody Davenport, Iowa, and there's an amazing conference. You know, you've got CornCon out there. And then I kid you not, like right next to it is like literally a Michelin star level restaurant that was mind-blowingly amazing. Out to DC on a regular basis for work stuff, for friend stuff, to see some good friends and just hang. So there's, you know, Cecil's event down in Dallas. I mean, hanging out down there and supporting him. And to me, that one is because Cecil gives so much back to the community. So it's like,
yep,
you tend to gravitate towards people that give so much back to the community. The Semperis event in New York, same thing. I mean, Semperis gives a shit ton of love back to the community, being able to help out that one. You know, you start looking at some of these. Going over to the UK, like B-Sides Lancashire and Leeds and stuff like that. Again, a fucking amazing. And Cyber Week over in Israel. I mean, I can't think of not wanting to go over to Israel just to catch up with family over there. I mean, it's, and see everybody. That conference is amazing. The people that turn up are amazing. The talks are fantastic. And it's a family. It's a family.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, you know, a day and change is worth the travel in either direction. And a lot of cost and a lot of travel and a lot of time.
So what are your quick, like top three tips for people who are feeling overwhelmed and trying to figure out how to navigate their calendars, their life, their job, all the priorities? What would you advise them?
First one is learn from my mistakes. One, learn to say no. I'm not good at letting people, what I feel like I'd be letting people down or disappointing people. So I think learn to say no. That's probably the first and foremost is do that. Second one is what are you getting out of it, or what are you giving? So you've really got to sit there and go, why am I going? Cecil's event's a perfect example. So let's use that one, the Dallas. Why am I going? One, because Cecil invited me and I'm on stage. Secondly, probably more importantly, because he does it for charity. So when I think about it, they write some pretty decent sized checks for people for charity. So going out there to support that, to me, is very, very important. It's not a, he's not doing it to make money. I think this is the big one. If it was, you know, I just did one this week where it's a breakfast event, and it's a for-profit conference series. I'm happy to do it, but it was in town, luckily. If it had been traveling, which they've got me done, I've got to figure out whether they're going to pay me for the damn thing first in a minute. But it's one of those things where if it's being done for the good of the community and for the good of the teams, then I think it's worth it. B-Sides Columbus last week was another one for the good of the community. So I think that's part of it. And I think the other one is, what are you giving up? And that's where I think I'm also struggling. Again, sitting on the fucking throne at the airport the other night, Sunday evening, going, what the fuck am I doing? I'm not living. I'm simply existing. I was, and that's where I think there's a big difference. That's where I'm like, how do I change that? Mm-hmm. Is it I do less? Is it I focus on this more? You know, do I step away from some of my other responsibilities and maybe try to monetize this in such a way where I could do this for a couple of years? And the answer is probably yes, but I'm too fucking useless at negotiating my own bloody stipends and shit. Maybe that's another one. Get a bloody agent, for crying out loud.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's really sound advice for anyone who's feeling overwhelmed right now and needs a little bit of a nudge as to what should I do if I'm in kind of the same boat and you know, feeling that stress and pressure. Now's a good time to reevaluate that. You know, we just passed the Jewish New Year and we want to get new things on the plate. So folks, go ahead and do that. Love it. Happy New Year to the Jewish clan out there. All right. So I want to segue to a different topic based off of a LinkedIn post you tagged me in very bright and early in the morning as I was looking at my phone, kind of with one eye. I was like, okay, let's read what this is all about. And it got me to open my second eye because it was about the art of email marketing.
Yes.
It was a post by a marketing executive.
The winged.
So tell me why you tagged me in that post.
Well, I think first off, let's give so Will McCollum, Will was the one that was actually that hit me up on it, and it was interesting. So huge kudos out to Will on this one for pointing it out. And I think it's interesting because it was, you know, it's the art of email marketing. And I love the fact they had the winged messenger on there. I think that was interesting. If anybody looks like that in cybersecurity, nice job. Well done and all that kind of good stuff. I think it's, for me, I tagged because it is still a method of, our emails are flooded. I mean, let's face it. I mean, I'm sending you and forwarding you and sorting out spam messages on a second-by-second basis. I mean, I'm not sending that many to you, otherwise you'd kill me as well. But, I mean, I talked about it. I mean, yesterday I went through, I went through my email inbox, and we talked about spam for crying out loud. So it was definitely one of these ones where you have somebody who's basically going through how to do it right. And I was intrigued about it because okay. I'm looking at some of this and going, I agree with some of it, but I don't agree with a lot of it. And I think there is definitely a way of doing it because somehow or other, you've got to be able to get to me. Either you got to rugby tackle me at a conference, which means I'll probably fight back. Or you've got to hit the inbox or something akin to that effectively. I mean, my phone is pretty much so a dead method for initial communication. Everything goes straight to robocall. I do not accept any inbound calls. I don't know. I mean, it's as simple as that. So the chance of getting me on a phone as an initial call is about zero. So therefore, your only easy method in is going to be email, and it better be fucking good. So to me, this was useful to some degree, but it was also calling out the problem that it is still spam.
See, this is where the post got me triggered, and because it's that specific perception about email marketing that is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And not pointing fingers at anybody, it's the fact that email marketing is used inefficiently and incorrectly and being abused. Now, I read the post, and I clicked into the actual article, which I will drop it in. I will drop it here. Let's see. I will drop it in for people to take a look at. But the post was relatively sound in terms of the advice given there.
Yeah. What I think I liked about it is it was laid out in a way that got you thinking about. You know, a perfect example is like, you know, attention-grabbing subject lines. Now, here's the problem with attention-grabbing subject lines is you start ambulance chasing, you start using breaches, you throw statistics in, and most of it's going to stay in spam, or I'm going to retort with something that's not very nice, you know? Right. And I think what I liked about this one is it's the same stuff we've been talking about, which is take your bloody time.
Yeah.
It's take, and I think the other thing that everybody forgets, and this one did not address it. And I think this to me is probably one of the biggest things that pisses me off. Mm-hmm. You have made an assumption that I even want to receive your email.
Right.
You have gotten my name, you have gotten my number, and you have literally walked up to me in the physical world, handed me a piece of paper without doing any validation and expecting me to read it, expecting me to retort to it without even so much as a, do you mind if I do this? In the physical world, I'd smack you upside the head with a fucking wet herring. But in the digital world, it seems fine to send unsolicited messages to anybody for so long as you feel like you can do. And you put the onus on me to tell you no, rather than you asking. So this goes back to this whole opt-in, opt-out shenanigans. That I think, to me, is probably the rudest part about it. Sorry, I'm going off camera because I'm looking for tissues, which I
You're good.
And I need to blow my nose. But it's... That to me, I think, is probably the rudest thing about this whole part of it.
Right. I think that, you know, Will has a point. He mentioned here that the challenge that he left the author was to ask them to join in trying to fix the problem. Most people, first of all, don't understand what the problem is because they're not as close to the customer as they should be. But, you know, the minimum advice that they should provide in an article like this is what to do, what not to do when it comes to educating people with email, like focusing on the fact that email marketing is a channel and a tool that should be used to educate people who are willing to listen and have subscribed yeah. to listen and who engage with that content whenever they want. Like, I don't think email marketing is evil. Again, I think it's just used inefficiently and being abused for the wrong metrics.
Ally just said the fish method. I actually have a LinkedIn post somewhere which actually talks about, I have to find it. I actually did a LinkedIn post about what kind of fish you are going to get slapped with. It. I think I actually included octopi in there as well, just for sheer hell of it. But yeah.
But tell me though, do you at any point, so I want to distinguish between sales outreach, cold outbound email marketing, which has a ways to go in terms of how it should be done efficiently, and email marketing for marketing communication purposes. Two totally different things. At what point do you rely, if at all, on emails from, you know, marketing teams to become educated about some kind of topic or news or whatever?
Rarely, if ever. And I think that's maybe the big part about it. Rarely, if ever, because I'm very proactive. Again, you know, we talk about my day. So let's okay. take a step back for a second and break the CISO's day down just very briefly. I get yeah. up somewhere between 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning. Depends on what else is going on. So I don't take my first official meeting is at 10 o'clock. So I get up between 7 and 8, which gives me time to get a cup of tea. It gives me time to get email cleared out. It gives me time to get a LinkedIn post done. But more importantly, it gives me time to get caught up on things. It gives me time. My homepage is the BBC. I also go hit Dark Matters and I go hit Dark Reading. I go hit a bunch of other stuff out there as well and go see what's going on in the world. So I will look at our own industry. I'll look at our own threat feeds. I'll look and see what's happening in the world. So that's my 2 hours to get caught up on the world and see what's happening, what I need to deal with. Do my daytime. Hang out with the Wolf Merc, cook food, do whatever I'm going to do, go for a bike ride and stuff like that. And then I get back at things in my evening times and my night times and my research time. That's when I'm going to go out there and see what I care about in the world, or I deal with, you know, go do the Israeli calls, go do Japanese calls and everything, other stuff I need to deal with. But I think that's one of those things where I'm proactively out there doing stuff, or I rely on other people. Like, you know, perfect example, we were at a B-Sides Columbus this last week and I hang out with Maria and a whole bunch of the folks from the NewsBuyer team. I'm sitting down with that NewsBuyer team who are out there every single freaking minute of the day looking at intelligence, looking at data feeds, looking at systems, looking at the world and going, okay, mind meld time. You know, I got time to sit down with them, figure out what's happening, what's going on, what's working, what's not working, not just inside our ecosphere, but in generally outside in the world as to what tactics and procedures and stuff are happening. I am on a number of lists, including a lot of like avionics security lists. So I rely 95% at least of the time on my own, I guess, fact gathering to then mm-hmm. be able to go out and maybe ask questions. Now, if a vendor hits me up, and let's perfect example, if it's you know, API security, let's look at that. Obviously, you know, that entire ecosphere is growing ridiculously. So maybe somebody hits me up and says, hey, we got this cool API tool. Maybe I'll take 5 minutes and take a quick look at it and go, okay, it is something different, it's something unique, or it's something similar. So
but I'm going to interject though.
Yeah.
Forget tools aside.
Yep.
Topics, ideas, thoughts, points of view. Where do you learn new things? Like, because I see email as a very valuable tool to teach people.
I do a lot on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is my only social media. For me, there are a lot of people I keep an eye on and I follow on LinkedIn. So I typically will scroll through my feed, and I've curated my feed. I will yeah. scroll through my feed and just see what the topics are, what's going on.
It's
now out in the open, the stuff I'm going to be doing with Sylviane and the team over there. I'm looking forward to building that out as basically an effective news plus dashboard and everything else going on. So that's where I'm going to go. That'll be the homepage kind of thing. So But for me, it's a lot of LinkedIn stuff. Now, email coming in, I will look through the spam email, but it's very, very rare that I will use that as a, I'm sure it's still not clicking on any of the links that people send me.
Right. But is it on LinkedIn, are you following the people or specific vendor company pages to get informed about new things?
People.
And people. Yep. And what kind of what kind of new things are you always looking at to or what kind of topics are you looking at to get informed and get educated?
Some of the fundamentals. I always enjoy a different way that people look at some of the fundamentals. You know, we've obviously got too many regulatory bodies floating around in the industry. So how do we deal with that? The cloud side of the world is obviously something that's near and dear to a lot of the stuff we do. So it's always useful to look at different perspectives on how we deal with the cloud, how we're dealing with breaches, tabletop exercises, how to deal with the human aspect of things. I mean, there's a lot of posts that are put out where people are talking about the human aspect. You know, how do we bring, how do we retain people? How do we look for people? How do we ensure the people that we have are as good and as effective and that we take care of them? So I like some of those posts out there. It's very rare that I will look at a tech post. If somebody's like, hey, here's the latest exploit for something, it's very rare right. that I will look at that post. I tend to save that stuff for conferences when I can actually just get down and geek out with somebody. Plus, at the end of the day, I don't care because my attitude is everything can be broken. How do we deal with it is kind of where my head's at.
Do you consume, so on LinkedIn, again, assuming you're on LinkedIn almost all the time, my assumption is that it's short form content that resonates with you. Or do you like longer form pieces of content, videos, do you diversify the kind of information you digest to learn so and expand
long
your form
content for me is podcasts or YouTube. And that's an evening thing. So podcasts to me are typically something I sit down in the evening and listen to. And there's a number of podcasts I listen to as well. So I'll keep an ear out on them. I'm sitting on an airplane. Half the time on the airplane, I'm actually listening to music. The other half of the time on the airplane, I've downloaded a couple of episodes of a podcast and I've got them playing in the earphones. So, and YouTube's another one. And sometimes on YouTube, it's long-form content and it's not even relevant to this industry. You know, I'm off. There are a couple of channels I follow just for the sheer hell of it, because they're interesting, because they're science related, math related, space related, car related. And then there's a couple that I actually appreciate the hell out of because people are taking an alternate view as to how we deal with things in our industry.
What kind of alternate views on dealing things with our industry capture your attention?
The thoughtful ones. I like people who will challenge things. I mean, I have no problem with people challenging what I say, but I want it done in a thoughtful manner. If somebody's just going to come up and opine on something without substance behind it, then I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I turn around and say the sky is blue and somebody comes up and goes, no, it's purple, and then fucks off, I have no time for that. But if somebody comes up and goes, well, the sky is blue through your eyes because blah, 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 I actually see the sky purple because of blah, 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 blah. And here's this and here's how refraction works and here's how light bends and blah, 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 blah. I love that because that to me is somebody opining with knowledge. So I like those ones. I also like the round table type of thing, which is actually really, really nice as well. I ran a round table yesterday morning and we had, you know, 15, 20 CISOs around a table. And we were actually having a good conversation about the human side of it, about AI side of it, and a couple of other things. And it was fantastic because, again, it was all of us approaching it from different industries with different ways of looking at things and different challenges and different sizes of organizations, which made it an absolutely fantastic and very fascinating conversation. So I like when you get diverse ideas and people are allowed to say their things. But again, if you're going to opine on it, do it from a position of knowledge, not just from a position of ignorance, more can we say.
And was that roundtable in person or virtually?
Oh, that was actually in person. Yeah, it was actually good.
Nice. Nice. So that got you the opportunity to shake hands, meet people, and hang out. So you mentioned earlier community. I feel like there are a lot of communities in our industry.
Oh, that's an understatement. Again, another one of those problems going back to the travel and going back to where do you spend your focus?
What in your opinion is a good, what in your opinion are the strong characteristics of a community done right in our industry?
Engagement.
What does that mean?
So a perfect example, I've been fortunate and unfortunate to start a couple. I've done two under company umbrellas, which unfortunately failed, because when a company brings you on board and they're like, hey, start a community, I'm like, hey, you're going to put effort? They're like, absolutely. And they don't. Well, then it blows up, and you know where I'm going with that one. And then we have another one, which is the Tinkerers Group, which I was obviously one of the founding three on that one. And we're now, you know, several hundred members deep, but it's been set up as a 501c. It's got a board. It has continual engagement. There are people in there to curate. There are people in there to watch. There are people in there to enforce. And it's very much set up in a, you remember, it's basically the old BBS channels. Like somebody owns it, somebody's doing this, somebody's curating, somebody's authoring, somebody's supervising. You know, it's, we're humans. We to some degree, unfortunately, need a little bit of shepherding on a regular basis. So I think it's one of those where, for me, something like the Tinkerers actually works relatively effective. I mean, it's like, I mean, there's always hiccups, no two ways about it. But I think it's definitely one of those where it isn't just engagement by the community. It's whoever set it up has to engage it. B-sides are absolute, the prime example of that in the real world. It's, you're not just going to put your hand up and go, hey, we'll have a B-sides and then expect people to show up. You've got to have the volunteers. You've got to have the structure. You've got to have the outreach. You've got to have the marketing. You've got to have who's going to pay for this. And then you've got to get the word out. So it's an entire collaborative team effort just to get one fucking conference going.
Mm-hmm.
And then keeping it going is another thing entirely. It's like, all right, great. We got all this groundswell. And this is the same thing with marketing. It's exactly the same thing. Hey, we got this. We made this announcement. We got this groundswell. Now, how do we retain this groundswell to such a degree that, quite honestly, we can use it? We can you profit from it, but profiting from it is simply sometimes just having bums on seats. Profiting from it might be you get to sell some shit too. So I think it's one of those where that takes a lot of fucking effort, a continual effort.
It does take a lot of effort because there's a physical aspect there. But let's say somebody wants to create a digital community. And I know a lot of companies are like, okay, well, let's do advocacy. Let's build community, or let's build an academy, or let's do something to bring in some.
Mm-hmm. That pisses me off because there's enough of that out there. I think that's where it pisses me off, because there's enough out there already. We don't need more people putting more flags in the ground with their own communities. There was another one the other day. Somebody's like, hey, I'm going to start up a whatever the heck it was. It was the 501c or another one. I'm like, quit that shit. There's like four or five groups out there already that do the same kind of, well, they don't do exactly what we do. Well, then go fucking help them build it out. You know, I don't need another community, let's just say in Denver. We have 303, we have B-Sides, we have ISSA, we have ISACA, we have all this shit, we have Cloud Security Alliance. Go be part of one of those. Go help them. Go help Rocky Mountain InfoSec. Go do something with, again, collaborate. You don't need to put your own flag on it. You don't need, I mean, there's been some amazing successful things where, like, there's a bunch of events now that have like little spin-off CISO breakfasts and CISO parts of it, which I think is perfect. They haven't stood up their own fucking conference. They've like gone to the original conference and said, hey, do you mind if we work with you, bring more people in, engage and collaborate together, but we have our own little room off of here. DEF CON, for example, is probably one of the best examples of best and worst examples. You have the villages, the core conference, and then you have all these villages which feed each other. So I think for me, I would much rather see that. We don't need another fucking Discord channel. I do not need more freaking Slack channels to join. What I would love to do is collaborate with the ones that are already out there and make them better. Community effort.
How do you decide what to invest in from a community standpoint in order to expand your knowledge, push your job and career forward? Because there's so much. Like,
oh yeah.
What are the deciding factors for you?
It's down to the people. I think it all comes down to the people, and that is such a subjective conversation. For me, my home in the Yes, actually, community can get too big. Perfect example, Maria. I think that's why we've had all the you know, I think, and that, but I think it's a tough one. So a perfect example on that would be GERCON up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Chris and Jamie and the team up there have done a freaking amazing job at keeping that the same size for the last 10, 12 years. And they've done it by just saying, hey, look, we're not going to move out of the divorce place. We're not going to do this. We're going to keep it the same size. Kind of first come, first serve. If you can't get in, I'm sorry. But it's one of those where I think it's worked really, really nicely because you get this refresh of people. You get this amazing amount of people coming in from the student side of the world. I mean, Chris, the team there's done a nice job of balancing like practitioners and students and everybody else who wants to come in. And I like it. I mean, that's how it should be. But I think it's... I like the B-sides for that same reason, very much community focused. But I don't have an easy, hard and fast way. There have definitely been some conferences I've gone to and I won't go back to. Mm-hmm. And there are some that I want to go back to. I mean, B-sides, Columbus, CornCon, all of those ones, LastCon, stuff like that, I think are fantastic because the conversations there, to me, again, it's back to the people. The conversations there are fantastic. I will learn things there. And I think that's, you ask where I also learn from. I learn more by spending 10 minutes at a vendor booth, at a B-sides than I will ever do at a fucking RSA conference or a DEF CON or a Black Hat conference.
Why?
More engaging, more focused. They have a lot less distractions. I have a hell of a lot more time. I also have a lot less distractions as well. And I tend to find the conversations are more grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you think about it. So perfect example. I mean, let's just take B-sides. I mean, Maria and the crew had a booth at B-sides. They had a consistent flow of people and they were engaged conversations. Whereas let's face it, if you are in Booth Alley at RSA or at Black Hat, it's a continuous stream of people. Most of the folks have already seen 1,000 booths already or 500 booths already. Most of them just want some fucking swag. Some of them are already pissed off. They're tired. They're expensive hotels. They've had a busy day. They're probably hungry and it's an entire couple of days of slagging through freaking conference hell. Whereas at a B-side, you get to hang out. You get a beer half the time. Mm-hmm. You get to be with friends. It's way less people. You know, it's 300 to 500 people rather than 30 to 50,000 people, and honestly, in most cases, GERCON's another example of this. The booths are the same. You get a fucking 8x8 space. End of conversation. You don't get to put a million into your booth or half a million and wave your dick around. You get an 8x8 space. Make the most of it. And I think it's better spent. I think it's just time and effort. Better spent.
Mm-hmm.
So that I think is, and that's just how I look at it. And I think a lot of us as well in the community, especially those of us that are a little older and grayer, have a lot more respect for people when they show their booth and they show their face and they come and support the local conferences, the grassroots stuff, rather than dicking around at some of the big ones.
I want to go back to the digital side because physical, yep. There's no doubt about it. The physical meeting people is so incredibly valuable. We're throwing eggplants up in WTF today.
Why the hell are we throwing eggplants? Why would people?
We're not going to get into it. Yeah. Thanks, Patrick. I want to shift to understand though, what in your opinion is a valuable community, digital community? Like no semblance of physical factors there, but we're all doing this digitally because it's hard. Like we're somebody that wants to spin up something on a digital side, right? And we want to connect with people. What would be valuable to you, if at all? Like, what would get you to say, yes, I'm going to subscribe to this community?
So, I mean, ITSP started something off several years ago, and I love it because it's actually really cool. It's a home for a lot of us. I think I still have presence on there. I haven't done much with them in a while, which I feel horribly guilty for. But, I mean, that was really nice because it was a collective of voices in a space, which was actually really nice. Bunch of podcasts, bunch of good people, bunch of really, really good content, some amazing, insightful stuff that wasn't just security related. There was a lot of human and earth-focused related stuff, which I actually loved. The team there really brought some good ideas together. So that was a good place. Now, I will be honest, I've filtered off of it to some degree, and that's just my own. I've not focused on it, which is a problem. I should do. Tinkerers group, the Slack channel for Tinkerers is another good example. But that's, that's you know, there's criteria to be able to get into that, and it's less about who you are or what you are. It's much more about what you bring to the table. So I think there's a lot of that in there, and there's, you know, like anything, there's challenges inside. The villages. So a lot of the villages at the conferences have their own channels. Some are on Discord, some are on Slack, some are on the IRC world, but they're all over the place. Finding those and being on those is actually really, really useful from a community standpoint. One, because you get to find out what's going on next year. Second, you get to help, which is also part of the deal. 303 as a family, 303 has its own ways of communicating as well. And I love that. That's been another one. Now I'm off of that one at the moment because it's just been so crazy. And for me, I couldn't deal with everything else that was going on and also try to fix me or work on fixing me at the same time. So I took a step back from that one because it was too much going on. But that's another.
So, well, what is it about those digital communities that make you feel like it's too much noise or it's too crazy? What happened?
There's a limited way to filter it. You know, I think that's why LinkedIn is both a blessing and a curse. At least now, to some degree, if you go into messages, you can filter, like, what do I want to see versus what can I just chuck into other because it's going to drive me nuts. Mm. I think that to me is useful. I need to be able to filter stuff. And then again, same thing with, like, you know, Slack is great. I have so much unread stuff on, like, the Tinkerer Slack because this stuff I'm not that bothered by watching. But the stuff I care about, somebody can hit me up directly. And also, I can look at the channels I want to look at without being faced with an absolutely scrolling amount of craziness. So I think an email solution doesn't work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What do you care about? So let's say, like, I'm looking at your Slack dash now or your Slack screen. What are your pinned channels?
My gosh. Well, let's get into the Slacks, shall we? So this will probably tell you where some of my mindset is at the moment. Some of the hiring stuff, some of the CISO gigs stuff, some of the random stuff. The pets one is on there as well. Let's face it. Some of that stuff is in there. Some of the Ask Us Anything I actually keep an eye on as well. The gratitude one is in there. Conference reporting one, so is a useful one for me as well. Tinkerer Travel is another one that I kind of keep a half an eye on as well. The Marketplace, not so bothered by that one. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff I kind of keep an eye on. But there's a lot of stuff I don't. You know, so the Boom is probably a perfect one. You know, I look at some of the Boom stuff that's going on and I keep an eye, same thing. You know, I keep an eye on the IT team. I keep an eye on physical. I keep an eye on the Puppy channel. I keep an eye on the Boom U, which is the education channel that we have, which is actually really freaking awesome. The CISO channel, which is mine, obviously, cycling and a couple of others. So it's a balance between work-related stuff and just fun-related stuff, like the Puppy channel, the cycling channel, a couple of the other ones. So I try to balance it so it's not all work focused. It's not all tech focused. There's a little bit of other stuff in there, I guess, to also spread that interest around.
Interesting. I found the comment about who's in the community interesting and compelling for me. Like, is there value for me to join a community if, I don't know, this, again, a huge assumption. Some of the people that I find influential are part of the community.
I have so many freaking amazing conversations with people that are not, like, known in the community. I love that because different viewpoints, different approaches on it, different ways of thinking about things, challenging some of the assumptions. And to me also going, okay, how do we actually get those people to have more of a voice?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a fantastic yesterday. Where the hell is it? Where's my notifications? Sat down yesterday. The hell was it? It was there. It is. Gosh, I'm gonna mess up her name. Bronwyn. Bronwyn, that's an
Irish. Oh, yeah.
Bronwyn Hudson. Caught up with her yesterday briefly, and we talked for a little bit. And I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. And again, somebody else that started a podcast, doing her own thing, wants to get a whole bunch of people on it, but just a very different way of looking at things. It's a fucking great conversation. And she's like, you know, I'd love to have, I'm like, I'll happily sit down, geek out, have some fun. So for that kind of stuff, you know, somebody who's known, but like not crazy known, that is another voice in the community that I think needs to be amplified even more. So you start looking at folks like that and you're like, okay, how do we all collectively put those people up more and more? So that's how I look at things.
I love it. Super valuable. I love this conversation. I could go down so many directions, but I know that we're pressed for time because you have to travel to see the one and only Cecil.
I'm going to figure out what the hell I'm going to pack at some point. And there's some other stuff going on I got to keep a half an eye on.
So imparting thoughts today before we sign off, because I know we have about 5 minutes left. Anything you want to share with our audience today who's been listening so intently and engaging with us?
I mean, that post I put out was very, very introspective, and it was pretty blunt, because it was rough. I mean, I'm literally sitting there going, what the fuck am I doing? And then I got some, what are we on today? Today's Wednesday. Monday, Milo went into the vets, and I got a heads up on it Monday, and then yesterday the official report arrived, and that's throwing me for a complete fucking loop. I'm not in a good place by any stretch of the imagination at the moment. I'm definitely in that like barely holding it together fucking mindset. For those of you that have kids, basically imagine being told your kid's got 6 months to fucking live. That's what I got told yesterday. And that's what I'm still trying to process. And so that post I put out Sunday is hitting harder and harder every single day because I am taking a step back. I am going, where do I prioritize? I am going, what do I care about? You know, and at this moment in time, I know I now have a more limited amount of time with the one anchor I have on this fucking planet than I ever thought I would have. So I am taking a step back and going, what do I really care about at this point in time? And how do I deal with that? And so I think that's all. It behooves every single one of us to take a step back and, you know, Danny, to your point, you look at the conference and go, what can I give to it? What am I getting out of it? What do I leave with? Do I leave with feeling like I've delivered something to the community? Do I leave with feeling like I've done something for charity or done something for the betterment of our industry? Or do I just leave with a bunch of fucking swag and another conference badge? Because if it's the latter, don't go. If you're leaving, it's like anything. If you can leave somebody or something in a better place than you found them, I would say go. But I think if you're leaving and it literally is swag and crap, then you maybe want to reconsider it.
Yeah. Sound advice. I'm sorry to hear about Milo. We should talk about that for sure offline.
Yeah, he basically he has dilated cardiomyopathy, enlarged heart, which is a death sentence, and it's as simple as fucking that.
Yeah.
So
damn.
Yeah, and he's not old either, which is the other part of it. So not ready for it, but so I am definitely sitting down and going, what the fuck do I do?
Yeah. Well, you have this community to lean on.
I know, but it's I gotta get out of my own head first. Which I got some plane flights that I can just sit down, put some music on, give them a big hug before I head out.
Good. I can't add anything to that. You know, echoing everything that you're saying here. So here for you. Here for you in your time of travel as well. So if you're ever on the plane and you need to text, please, by all means.
No, I appreciate it. Same thing. You got some good decisions ahead, hopefully, and thankfully, which is really nice. More stuff to share on that to come, hopefully.
100%. 100%. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to let you go off to Dallas to see the CISO XC folks.
Give Cecil big hugs. Go hang out with everyone on stage. So,
please give Cecil my best.
All right. You take care as well. Be safe. Give Rugrats, give family a big old hug from me.
100%.
All right.
And thank you to everybody today who had joined us and engaged. We love you all. We will see you next week.
Yeah. Next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So this has been another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. We are